would please, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 37. Psalms chapter number 37. It's been a couple of weeks or so since we've been in this passage of Scripture, and we're excited about the reports we're getting. The Lord's helping people and helping me. And I had no idea of some of the things that was going to transpire even before we started this, before we are concluding this, about the Supreme Court and all that went on with that ruling and the turmoil that's in our country. A very noticeable unrest in our country. We're on the brink of war right in our very own borders, and it's just, well, of course, we know it's going to get like that. You know, we know it's going to get like that, but what I believe the Lord has been using Psalm 37 to teach us is that how that we can remain spiritual through it, right. How we respond to it, amen, how we can keep on keeping on for the glory of God. And the context is set forth in verses 1 and 2 and is sprinkled throughout this chapter. And that is how that you and I as saved people are cohabitating this world with wicked people. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it is now. And we'll continue to do so until Jesus comes. Right. Amen. And but he's teaching us here that though they are wicked and though they have ill intent, though their motives and their desires really is to do away with Christians, and it's so evident to see that in our day where we're the bad guys.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter who's offended, right. As long as it's if it's a Christian, it don't matter about you if you're offended. I mean, it offends me. People burns the flag and tramples on it, and that's even in our law. It's even in the law of our land that they should be fined and jailed and penalized legally with that. But nobody's even slapping them on the hand. Nobody's even saying, don't do that. But anyway, there's so much going on in our day. And if you get focusing on that, as Brother Silas was talking about the verse in the bulletin, if you get to focusing on that, what will happen is your fears will feed on that.
Right.
Your fears will feed on that. I mean, the things that's coming in our land, the economic crash that's pretty much a certain thing going to happen. You know, what's going to happen to that and what's going to happen to the churches and what's going to happen. Listen, let's not worry about what is going to happen. Let's focus on what God says in his word that we need to do so that you and I can be a light in this hour. It is dark. Wouldn't you agree with that? It's a dark day, but we can shed a light, and no greater time to shine a light than when it's dark. Psalms 37, if you'd like to stand with me in reverence to the scripture, verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Verse number 9, for the evildoer shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord. See, there are those that's being talked about, and then there are those that are being talked to. The wicked are being talked about, but the righteous, those that are saved, God's people, are being talked to. Amen. I ought to pay attention to what God is talking about, but I ought to pay attention to whom God is talking to. God has given us instruction here how that we are living in a world with wicked people, and they have ill intent toward us, as this scripture reveals to us. In fact, verse number 14 talks about the wicked have drawn out their sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. And there's other verses even in this chapter that deals with their ill intent toward us. But that's no excuse for us to lay our spirituality down. No excuse for us to give up. No excuse for us to quit. No excuse for us to throw in the towel. But God is showing us in this chapter how that we can continue to stand upon our two feet and to go on and serve God and not endure, but to and also enjoy our last leg of the race. Amen. Let's remain standing for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here. And we pray, Lord, that you will anoint us with power. God, give us liberty and unction. Bring to our mind the things, God, that we have studied, things, God, that you have given to us for this congregation. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will use us today, Lord, in spite of us. We're pleading the blood of Jesus today, God, that you will help us. Lord, I pray that you'll get exalted. I pray you'll be magnified here this morning. Deal with us, Lord. We are in difficult days. And as we, Lord, if we're not careful and look at the news and listen to the newscast and the news reports and things of that nature, Lord, it's so easy to get depressed, so easy to get discouraged and defeated and to get down. But Lord, we are that generation that's alive today that could very well see the clouds open. Lord, the live and remain. That could be us here today. Lord, we're seeing these things come to pass. Lord, it is definitely a clear sign to us that we should lift up our heads for our redemption draweth nigh. Lord, it all should stir us up, Lord, as well, that, Lord, what we do for you, we need to do quickly. And Lord, you're going to deal with the wicked. Lord, you're going to cut them off. You're going to deal with the wicked. And so I pray that there'll be those by the multitudes that'll see the error of their way. And dear God, see the light that's coming from the believers' lives. And dear Lord, see the truth in the Scripture. And dear Lord, turn from their sin unto you and be saved. And miss the wrath to come. Miss out on going to hell and get to go to heaven with all the redeemed. And Lord, what a blessing that'd be. Lord, save somebody here this morning. Stir the saints of God. And Lord, help us today to honor you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've dealt with several things in this chapter already. I don't know how many messages we've already dealt with. I think maybe 9 or 10 messages that we've dealt with in this passage. And when I first started, the Lord gave this to me as I was reading Psalms 37 in my devotions. And God began to speak to me and began to work in my heart. And I thought maybe it might be just one message or something like that. I didn't have any idea that it was going to unfold and develop the way that it has. And I hope that it's fed you, because it surely has fed me and has encouraged several folk today to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Well, the way that this chapter is laid out is there's three areas. One, God is saying, dealing with what we are supposed to do. We deal with wicked days in what we're supposed to do. He deals with our responsibility, okay? He deals with our responsibility. Starting in verse number 3, I don't have time to go back and to point them out. But it's starting in verse number 3 and following, there are some 18 commands given in this chapter to the believer that we should do. Okay? Sure, he exposes the wicked. He exposes their intent. He exposes all of that, our surroundings, our situation, our circumstance. But he still keeps talking to the people of God. We can deal with what's around us as long as God keeps speaking to us. As long as God keeps giving us a word from the Word, we can handle it. Amen. When God begins to shut up and God begins to cease to give messages to preachers and to give liberty and services, then we should be troubled. We should be troubled. Amen. But there's 18 of those commands given in these verses of Scripture. So how do we deal with wicked days? We deal with it by honoring the commands of God. Do what we're supposed to do. Be responsible at what God has told us to do. Amen? And then we come into the latter section that we've been dealing with.
And that is, what is God going to do? We know what we're supposed to do, but what is God going to do? I'm glad God's active in this hour. Thank God for that. Don't let nobody tell you God is not up to something. God's got a plan. And I like what Matthew 16 says. I believe, what is it, verse 18? He said, upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't say I will try to. He didn't say I'm intending on it, but he said, I will build my church. And I like this. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's encouraging to me. Amen? That's encouraging to me. So let's deal with, and I've already dealt with some of the things that are in this chapter that God said that he was going to do. He was first, he shows what he's going to do for the wicked. We've already covered that. We've already read those scripture, what God said he was going to do to the wicked. But then he starts, and that helps me. That helps me to know that he's the judge of the earth. He's the one that's going to set everything right. He's the one that's going to make right the wrongs. He's the one that's going to be the supreme judge. The supreme court is not the supreme being. The supreme court is not the final say. They're not the final say. Amen. They may dictate things that goes on around you and around me and around us, but they do not dictate what goes on inside of us. Amen. They have no strings to my spirituality. Their hands are not on any buttons that are connected to my spiritual life. They can regulate, they can rule, they can deny, they can cancel out, they can change, they can do whatever. But I want to tell you, Psalm 37 tells me and shows me that God's people will continue to be God's people and will continue to be in the apple of his eye and will continue to have his favor and will continue to have his blessings. Thank God for that. Amen. And I like that. I felt a little something on that right then. Amen. Lord, blessing that. But as what he said he would do to the wicked, and that's found in several verses in this chapter. But I want us to look at what he's going to do for the saints. That's my main interest in the closing of this series. What is he going to do for the saints? And we first showed you the other day there where the Bible says, and he promises here that he has big plans for us. That don't look like it when you read the headlines and when you read the news and all that. It looks like the church is going down. It looks like the church is going under and out of business. And when you hear of liberals that occupy the church and pulpits of our day that are opening their arms up to welcome, Brother Mark referenced one in Sunday school, that a Baptist preacher, I believe he said, that opened his arms wide to the Supreme Court ruling and would love to be the first one. Couldn't wait to marry some sodomites. Couldn't wait to marry them. That church ought to run him plumb out of the country. That is a hireling, buddy. I promise you that. How could a person like that not even be, how could they even be saved and believe that? How could you be so scripturally ignorant to even believe such as that? Amen? When the Bible is so clear, Old Testament and New Testament. Amen? But a lot of people are listening to that crowd. They're listening to that crowd. Amen? They think they're the ones setting the standard. Then it makes us look bad. It makes us look like the villains. It makes us look like the villains when Rick Warren this past week is holding hands with, what is this, Elton John? One of the noted homos that's wore more dresses than most women has ever worn in their life. And he's holding his hands and they're sitting at the same desk and they're laughing together, embracing, and even made gestures of kissing. They didn't, but he made gestures. What would a man of God be doing with something like that? That's wicked. But the religious world, oh yeah, that's the standard right there. But then when we preach against it, we're the villains. Hello, amen. But I'm going to preach against it. Amen, either in this pulpit or on a stump or out in the woods or somewhere, I'm going to preach against it. Amen. It's wicked. It's clear in the scripture. It's ungodly. And if we're not careful, we'll let the legislation push us in the closet and push us into secrecy and silence. And I'm not going to do that by the grace of God. Amen. If all of God's people would speak up, if all of God's people would stand up, they wouldn't put us all in jail. They wouldn't put us all in jail, but what it is, most people won't ever stand up, they won't ever speak up, and so those two or three or few, the handful that will, then they're going to be made an example. Hello, amen. So he's got big plans for us. Verse number 9 and verse 11, amen. He talks about, and I know he's talking about in particular that Israel will inherit the earth. I understand that. But when we get saved, according to Galatians, we become of Abraham's seed. And God has big plans for us in the future. And then we noted, secondly, what God's going to do for us is found here in verse number 11 and also verse number 37, that he will give abundant peace. Look at verse number 11. But he just come out of a verse talking about the wicked. Verses number 9 and 10, how the evildoers are going to be cut off. And yet a little while, verse 10, the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, it shall not be. And then he comes right into verse number 11 and starts it out with a word of contrast. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Look at verse number 37. Look at verse number 37. We have another note of that. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Now there may not be peace in our land. Are you listening? And there certainly may not be peace in our world, as there's wars and rumors of wars and turmoils on every hand. Conflict on every hand. Amen. Confusion on every hand. But God's people, here's what God said. God says you have access to his peace. That he will give you abundance of peace. That he will give that if you're an upright man in verse number 37, that you would be a man of peace. You'd have peace inside you. Amen. Praise God for that. The Bible says there in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what's the third one? Peace. The Holy Spirit can produce peace in you no matter what's going on in our world. Amen. That's good news. But we've already covered that. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 57 and verse 21, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. The only way you're going to have peace is to be born again, be saved. Peace is what people's trying to find. They'd love to buy it. If you could put it in a pill, they'd pay all kind of money to have it. But it's not in a pill, it's in a pardon. It's in a person. It's in the having your sins forgiven. It's getting right with God. Where the creature gets right with the Creator, that's where you get peace. Amen. Hallelujah, that's good. Amen. I mean, last night, I didn't even have to take a baby aspirin to sleep. I didn't even have to take, no, amen, I mean, went out just like that. Why? Because of what's on the inside. Not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. And then a third thing that this is probably where we've gotten to. In verse 17 and verse number 24, we have another great insight to what God is going to do for the saints, even in such wicked days, allowing us to be spiritual, allowing us to be steadfast. Look at verse number 17 and verse number 24. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. That right there ought to help you. That right there ought to do something for you. Amen. And by the way, you're in one of them two categories. The wicked or the saved. Saved or lost, you're in one of those two categories. But what is it the Lord said he was going to do for the righteous? He said he's going to uphold us. And that word uphold means he's going to support us. He's going to support us, sustain us, hold us up, bear us up so that we can lean upon him. Well, I like that. I like that. And get this, Brother Mark. It is in the participle mood, which represents an action and condition of unbroken continuity. What does that mean? That means the Lord upholdeth, It's got ETH on the end of it. That means he's doing it now. He did it yesterday. He's doing it today. And he'll do it tomorrow. He's upholding us. Amen. He's our strength. He is the one that supports us and sustains us and bears us up. I like that. Look at verse 24. Though he fall. Look now. Look at verse 23. We'll be back there in a little bit. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So we have the great consolation here that God is going to uphold the righteous. Boy, that's good, ain't it? He's going to uphold us with his hand. And then verse 24 now, it says that though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Boy, isn't that good? You know what God knows about you? He knows that you're frail. And he knows that about me. And he knows that even though he's upholding me and he's ordering my steps in verse 23, that there will be times that I'll fall. But I'm glad the Bible said he shall not utterly be cast down. That means he will not be thrown away. I like that song about the potter and the clay, that he don't throw the clay away. Boy, if God throwed away us away when we fail, I wouldn't be in the pulpit today, and I dare say you'd be in the pew today. But I'm glad that God is, he upholds us. Amen. And I like to note this here, who it is that's upholding us. Look in verse 17. But the Lord, notice all letters are capitalized. The Lord upholdeth the righteous. Verse number 24, for the Lord, all capital letters, for the Lord upholdeth the righteous, upholdeth him with his hand. Who is the Lord here? It's Jehovah. Right. Now what's the name Jehovah mean? The self-existing one. Why does that mean something to me? Why does that speak to me that he's holding me up? It's because he doesn't need anybody to hold him up. He is the self-existent one. He was before all things. And he had no problems. And he will be after all things. Amen. And I'm glad that Lord that needs no help, that needs no support, that needs nobody, amen, to uphold him. He ranks high, sovereign, supreme. I'm glad he's the one that's in charge of helping me, holding me up. And in light of the context of this chapter now, that means something. Because the wicked throughout this chapter is wanting to put you down. Amen. They're wanting, look in verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay them. The wicked wants to put you down. But it's hard for them to put you down when we have the Lord, Jehovah, self-existent one, upholding us. That's good news in this hour. You won't get that on CNN or ABC or any of the other newscasts. But thank God we have a Bible. We can get the good news about our God and his relationship to me. Thank God he upholds us. That blessed me, right? Amen. That blessed my heart. And then look in verse number 18, we find a third thing that should speak to us about the Lord and his relationship to us. Look at verse number 18. Look at the first three words. The Lord knoweth. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Now notice this. Now through this chapter, it's clear that God knows everything about the wicked. He knows, able to write it down. He's able to give it to us. He's able to tell us the details about the wicked. But I'm glad this right here is in here. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Brother Silas, we are in difficult, dark days, are we not? The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Said, preacher, it's hard. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Preacher, I don't know how we're going to make it. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Hallelujah. He knows what we have faced. He knows what we are facing. And He knows what is going to face. Amen. God doesn't have to get the USA Today to find out what's the latest. Amen. He doesn't need to call Washington or anywhere else to get the latest. I'm glad He is the omniscient God who possesses the knowledge, all knowledge, perfect knowledge. And the Bible says in verse number 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Right. Now that right there helped me, I'll just tell you. And that word knoweth, where it said the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, the word knoweth there means He's acquainted with. This is in the definition now. It means to be acquainted with. And it also means to know by experience. Thank God, Jesus Christ, the one that is holding us up, the one that is on our side, once lived here as a man, and the Bible said He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is a sympathizing high priest. He understands everything that we face. He understands, amen, what you go through in this world, and I'm glad He knows our days because He has lived our days. Yes. Oh, yes. I like that. He knoweth by experience the days of the upright. That blesses my heart right there. Amen. If His eyes are on the sparrow, I promise you how much more important you are than the sparrow. Amen. Another thing that I note real quickly is that in verse 19... I like this. Verse 19, the Bible says something else the Lord does for us. They shall not be ashamed in evil time. What about that? How many would agree this is evil times? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We are seeing that. We are living in that day. And don't expect it. Listen, I'm not a prophet of gloom and doom, but don't expect it to get any better. Because we know that it's going to wax worse and worse. This Bible tells us that. You say, I don't like that. Well, I don't like it either. If I could change it, I would. But the stage is being set for the plan of God. God is never meant for you to stay here. This is not my home. No, no. I've got a house over there on Holston Terrace, but that's a house. And I'm subject to pull out at any day and leave that to somebody else. But I want to tell you, thank God my home is beyond the blue. My real home is beyond the blue. Amen. But look what the Bible says. They shall not be ashamed in evil time and in the days of famine. Hello, it's coming. Hello, it's coming. What about God trying to help us get ready for the days coming? Some of you getting it and some of you not getting it. God sent already 9 or 10 or so messages to help us to know that our spirituality is our survival. Amen. It may be collapsing and corrupting all around us, but that doesn't dictate what should happen to my spirit. I can stay right with God. Noah was right with God when the whole world was full of wickedness. And you can. The famines are coming, but here's the part that stuck out to me. Yes, it's evil times, verse 19, and days of famine, verse 19. But look what He said about God's people. They shall be satisfied. Wait a minute, satisfied? How can we be satisfied in evil days? How can we be satisfied in days of famine? Because our satisfaction is not from this world. It is not of this world. And since the world don't give it, the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. My satisfaction doesn't come in what I have. My satisfaction doesn't come with the circumstances around. My satisfaction comes from the Lord. Thank God I like that. God said He's going to take care of us. God said He's going to take care of us. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't either. And it's probably good that we don't know. Wouldn't that be true? I'm glad we don't know. I'm glad there's an element of unknown there. Amen. But I'm glad I can look in the Word of God that's forever settled in heaven and discover that God didn't hold back the punches. He said there are evil days and famine's coming. But He said that crowd that's saved is going to be satisfied. Amen. You can deal with anything if you're satisfied. You know that? One of the most dangerous, destructive things is dissatisfaction. If the devil can get you dissatisfied with something, you're going to be looking to get out of it, leave it, abandon it, quit it, stop it, whatever. But I'm glad the Lord says that inside the believer, there is going to be satisfaction. I like that. Amen. And notice verse 19 said, they shall not be ashamed in evil times. It didn't say we weren't going to be ashamed of the evil times. It said we're not going to be ashamed. Look at it. They shall not be ashamed in evil times. Meaning, though we're in evil times, we don't have to get evil in the evil times. We don't have to live a life to where we would be ashamed. And not only that, you're going to be, listen, well, years ago, I should have thought this through. Years ago, there used to be a game show, will the real Mr. So-and-so stand up? How many remembers that? I mean, that was years, hundreds of years ago, about it seemed like. And what they would do, they would have somebody over there, and one of them was the real one, and the other were fakes, and the person would ask the questions and try to guess which one was the real Mr. whatever. What was the name of that show anyway? I mean, Tell the truth. Will the real one stand up? That's what's going to happen in this hour. Just like with the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, the real one stood up when everybody else bowed down. Amen. Why did they stand up, Brother Travis? Why did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand up? Because they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed in evil times. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed of your church? Ashamed of your preacher? Ashamed of your Bible? Are you ashamed of our doctrine? Do you blush when somebody starts speaking critically about Christianity or amen? It's amen right there. That's right. If you're ashamed, you won't stand up. You'll bow like everybody else. But it said here that God's people are going to be satisfied in the days of famine and that they will not be ashamed in evil times. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed for what I preach. I'm not ashamed of being identified with Bible believers. I'm not ashamed of that. Amen. And if you're associated with anything of this world that you would be ashamed to be identified with, I believe it'd be good to cut ties with that. Amen. This wicked crowd out here that's so vocal against Christianity. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I can name some. I know somebody said, preach, you ought not to name names. Paul did. Paul named names. Alexander the coppersmith had done me much evil. Right. You know, I mean, he called names, didn't he? Yeah. Amen. I mean, I know some of that crowd, their name's not worth coming across the pulpit. I understand that. But when they make fun of our Bible, that makes me want to expose them. Amen. Yeah, it's all in the news this past week of Miley Cyrus slamming Christians for believing Old Testament fables and fairy tales. You know what she's specifically referencing, don't you? That we believe in Sodom and Gomorrah reports. And Noah's flood and creation and so on. And those are Old Testament fairy tales. And I'd be ashamed. I'd turn 100 shades of red if I had some of her trashy music anywhere around me. I wonder if I could get some of your cell phones, you young people, and you'd have her trashy mouth on your cell phone. Say amen right there. She has the nerve to be vocal against what you believe? How dare you support her by buying her trashy garbage? Say amen right there. That's right. And if that rubs you the wrong way, bring Save next Sunday. Because I'm telling you right now, that crowd out there has got a major influence on people inside the church. Yes, sir. Envy them. They envy that crowd. That's why in verse 1 he said, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity. Don't envy that crowd. Don't be jealous of that crowd. Don't want what they are. Amen. So I'm going to try to expose them as the Lord leads me to, and don't feel a bit bad to do it. They don't blush to put mud on what we believe and embrace. Say amen right there. Well, anyway, I don't know if you can handle that or not. Amen. But he upholdeth the righteous. He knoweth. And then verse 19, he satisfieth. That word satisfieth means filled to satisfaction. Filled. In famine. God can fill you in famine. God can feed you in famine. I heard the other day it was way up there, percentage is governmentally dependent right now, already in our country. I mean, it's way up there. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe they told that on that newscast, how many people in our country is governmentally dependent already. You know what that means? Governmental dependent means you're governmentally controlled. You do what they say or you're going to lose your check. You do what they say or you're going to lose, amen, they're going to start cutting it off, amen. God help. Amen. God help us. It irritates me when I see our country headed toward communism fast. It really does. And tyranny and dictatorship. But the Bible tells us as God's people, we are hooked up with the God of heaven that can satisfy us. That word satisfy means to have enough. It means to be filled full, to be filled with, to have plenty of. I'm glad God is able to take care of us no matter what's coming in our country. That's good. He satisfieth. And of course, that is also in the imperfect mood, which expresses an action, a process, or a condition which is incomplete. That means he satisfies and keeps on satisfying. Amen. In days of famine, in days of hunger, in days of lack, God has proven time and again in the scripture that he can satisfy without supplies. He took care of almost 3 million in the wilderness. And there wasn't a Walmart. There wasn't a grocery store. There wasn't a hospital. Amen. That's right. And he took care of them for over 40 years. He fed them and clothed them and took care of them. That same God is the one that is upholding us. The same God that knoweth what's going on in our day. And he satisfies. He can satisfy. Are you satisfied this morning? Thank God I want it to be on record. I am and have been for 34 and a half years satisfied with Jesus. That's why I've not went back to the places that I used to go and do the things I used to do. That's because I don't want to go there. It didn't satisfy me then. It won't satisfy me now. But Jesus satisfied me when he saved me, and I'm still satisfied with him. Oh, yes. Look at verse 25. Youth choir, I mean, lifts the rafter off singing this verse. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why? Because we're people that's hooked up with the Lord, and he'll satisfy us, and he will take care of us. In days of famine, we'll have enough. Amen. I like the song Miss Donna sings, I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. He's already took care of us. Amen. Take a roll call of your blessings. He's already took care of you. He's already proven himself to be faithful. Amen. He's proven himself that he can be trusted. Amen. And he's going to take care of us. Well, hallelujah. That's right. I'm glad the Lord satisfies us. But you know what? The wicked are not satisfied. They'll never have enough. You can't drink enough. You can't smoke enough dope. You can't pop enough pills to be satisfied. You always got to have more. You got to have more. You got to have more. You got to have more. I was talking to someone last week. Spoke to them and they said that they was, for years, they'd known, was known as the, I guess, the town drunk or whatever. And said every morning would drink two of the biggest bottles of liquor they could get, that they could buy. Every morning. And then drink 24 case of beer every morning. And said when they start sobering up at about around 4 o'clock, they just started all over again, start drinking and popping pills and smoking dope, whatever they could get their hands on. Thinking satisfaction is to be out of your mind. What good is that? Pay attention sometimes when you're out in town, especially young people. They're just all droopy-eyed, and you can tell they don't even hardly know where they're at. Pills, drugs, it's killing us. It's killing our country. It's killing our county, amen. That's right. God help us. But there's no satisfaction to those until they get saved. And that's good news for you this morning. Your satisfaction will not come through material possession. It'll not come through financial prosperity. It'll not come through social connections. Who's who, knowing who, and being accepted and being popular. None of those things can produce satisfaction. Satisfaction comes from the Lord. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I'm going to stop right there. We could go on. There's several. I don't know how many. There's just a lot of them all the way down through verse 40 where God says that he will do these things for his people. Let's stand to our feet. Miss Paul, if you'll come.